here's a story from The World.
It's 10 years since the triple meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant that led Japan to temporarily shut down all of its nuclear plants. It also triggered anti-nuclear protests worldwide. Today, tens of thousands of people from Fukushima remain displaced because of the radiation. But nuclear power is a big source of low-carbon energy, and many view it as a critical part of the fight against climate change. The World's Carolyn Beeler looks at Fukushima's impact on the future of nuclear power.
The disaster was and still is most acutely felt in Fukushima Prefecture, but it changed the way just about everyone in Japan thought about nuclear power. Jeff Shimamoto's story is a good illustration of why. He and his family were living in Tokyo when reactors at the Fukushima nuclear plant melted down. The city is about 130 miles away.
I think on the fourth day, when the winds started shifting towards Tokyo, there was mass panic and hysteria.
Shimamoto says suddenly there was this overwhelming fear that radiation would seep into your house. Video tutorials on how to tape up your windows started popping up online.
It's very similar to what we're going through right now with the pandemic. We don't know where it is. We can't see it. Radiation is not something that is red and flying around in the air. And so there was sort of this panic that we had to figure out how to keep it out.
On the street, he says you weren't quite sure who you should be getting close to or what was safe to touch.
Then there was also the hoarding. You know, people were worried that, okay, well, we're not going to be able to go outside. We're going to be stuck in our home. So we got to go to the convenience store and buy all the toilet paper, and we have to buy all the milk, and we have to do all these things. And so there was this fear.
No one was killed directly by the nuclear meltdown in 2011, but the fear of radiation was pervasive. Before the disaster, he says if he thought about nuclear at all,
I was always thinking, well, if it's a low carbon footprint, that's great.
After Fukushima, he started thinking of it like this.
If it goes bad, it could kill you. It's a necessary evil, but one that I would hope would go away at some point.
Japan took all its reactors offline after the disaster, and only 9 of 54 are back up and running now. And Fukushima, like Three Mile Island and Chernobyl before it, forced people and governments across the globe to rethink nuclear power. Peter Fraser is head of the Power Markets Division at the International Energy Agency.
It was certainly the case that a number of countries put a pause on their nuclear development right after Fukushima, just to reassess.
2 months after the disaster, Switzerland announced it wouldn't build any new nuclear power plants. Chancellor Angela Merkel announced Germany would close all of its plants by 2022, heard here on the BBC.
Our energy system has to be changed profoundly. It must be safer, more reliable, and economically viable.
Global nuclear power generation didn't climb back to pre-Fukushima levels until 2019. In Western Europe and the U.S., aging power plants and opposition to building new ones means nuclear power is likely to decline significantly in coming decades. But globally, Peter Fraser says,
we think over the next decade there will be a very gradual increase. And the main reason for the increase is China.
Pro-nuclear advocates and some environmentalists believe this is a good thing, and they'd like to see more countries follow suit. Right now, more than a quarter of the world's low-carbon energy comes from nuclear power.
I used to be against nuclear power. I actually used to protest against it.
Zion Lights is a longtime climate activist in the UK.
And then I changed my mind when I realized that it's one of the bigger tools for combating climate change. So I completely changed my mind, and now kind of I'm trying to undo some of the damage that I feel I might have done before as a climate activist.
This month, LICE is launching a new grassroots environmental group to advocate for nuclear power.
All the time you hear, it's a climate emergency. We need to act on it now. We need to bring down emissions now. Nuclear is our best tool for doing that.
Even in post-disaster Japan, there are people who see climate change as a threat that might justify the risks of nuclear. One of them is Toyomi Sakai McLeod. She lives near a shuttered nuclear power plant that could still pose a risk if another earthquake were to hit. That worries her, but so does climate change. She speaks to me through an interpreter.
She's never actually been to the nuclear power plant, so it doesn't really affect her. Whereas climate change, she feels that the summers are getting hotter, spring and autumn are getting shorter. So on a daily basis, she feels climate change.
The problems at Fukushima live on. It's expected to take 30 or 40 years to remove all the radioactive fuel from inside the three damaged reactors. Across Japan, opposition to reopening closed reactors is still strong. But globally, cost and competition might be more powerful factors in slowing the growth of nuclear power. Peter Fraser from the International Energy Agency says solar energy is now a cheaper option in many countries.
And I think that's something that wasn't the case a decade ago. And so as a result, when we look ahead, we see a much brighter future for renewables.
And a much more modest growth in nuclear. For The World, I'm Carolyn Beeler.